Scott Bailey is standing by, ready to join us from AAP to give us a bit of an update as to what's happening with Ola Kawatu and Daly Cherry Evans. G'day, Scotty.
G'day, Joel. How are you doing?
Very good, mate. What's the latest with these Manly boys?
Yeah, so Manly have taken the two-match ban for Himole Ola Kawatu, but they will try and get Daly Cherry Evans downgraded to a fine at the NRL Judiciary tomorrow night.
Okay, well, I as I said, I've been in Mudgee and didn't see a heap of the football other than the match highlights, etc. What's your two bobs? What's your gut feel? Is it a good play for Manly to attack this?
Look, I think the play was always to say that one person was at fault and the other one wasn't, or was it lesser fault. I'm not quite sure they've got the right guy. I actually think Daly may have been slightly more responsible than Himole in this one, but... What? Probably there seems to be split views on that. I think the bigger issue in all, to be honest, and certainly what Manly players were saying today, was that surely after 313 games without a ban and a hell of a lot of origins and test matches, that Daly Cherry Evans should probably deserve some kind of discount compared to other players who have a pretty ordinary track record at the judiciary.
My mum once got her first speeding fine in like 30 years.
Yep.
She wrote in the letter, "I've never had one. I'm a good citizen." Yep. Blah, blah, blah. Got off it.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's common sense, right?
I would have thought so. I mean, the most alarming thing for me is this weekend, Tane Milne copped his fifth charge in the space of 20 months, and obviously he's got a bit of a record. And as far as the NRL is concerned, there's no priors that are added onto his ban. Cherry Evans gets his second charge in 14 years, and he essentially is considered the same as Tane Milne in terms of priors. And look, when it was taught that to Manly players today, they were kind of shocked, and probably rightfully so, I would suggest.
Hey, Scotty, we're chatting with Scotty Bailey from AAP. Now, this text, James from Bondi, and I suppose both James, the missile, myself, we know what AAP is, but he said, he goes on to say that I don't think that most people would commercially know what AAP is. Can you explain the role of AAP in the Australian media?
It's a great question. It's essentially AAP is fills the gaps of where newspapers or websites can't send people. So papers such as Sydney Morning Herald or any number of websites, 7, ABC, etc., subscribe to AAP, and then our stuff goes onto their websites and papers. Regional papers use it a lot because obviously if you're a paper in Newcastle, you can't get someone to a Tigers v Broncos game at Campbelltown, for instance. So almost like a Getty Images for print. So you read it a hell of a lot more than you probably realise.
Beautiful. There you go.
There you go.
What else is making news for the AAP then, Scotty?
Well, Luke Keary's another big story today with his retirement. I mean, it's been a busy day in rugby league, Latrell Mitchell situation, whether he pulls himself out of Origin or makes himself unavailable. And then Cameron Munster's 200th game down in with Melbourne this weekend. But yeah, the Keary one's probably the other big interesting story in rugby league today. I think the Roosters will have to replace more than 1,000 games worth of NRL experience next year when you include him, Jared, Murray Hargreaves and two Joeys. That's going to be quite the challenge for them next season.
Who would be a potential replacement for Keary? Obviously, they've got Sandon Smith there, but could a Joey Manu backflip and stay in the halves?
No, I don't think that'll happen. I think if Joey was going to get a position that would keep him in the NRL, it would be fullback, but he's pretty set on going overseas. But Sandon Smith, and I think, look, this is always going to happen. I don't know that they need to spend the money in the halves, because Sandon Smith and Sam Walker on their very limited showings together looked really good. So I'd imagine that they might spend a fair bit in the outside backs now, given the guys who are leaving the club. And they've also got decisions to make in their pack with Angus Crichton off contract as well at the end of this year.
Scotty, I made a suggestion for the, and I love your insight because you've been around the game, you know all the rules back to front, and I've leaned on Scotty at games from time to time. Missile, my idea for the short kickoff, not the short kickoff. The NRL would love to see short kickoffs, of course, because there's concussion and it's got all big debate. Is if we just purely, which we could do this week, if you implemented any kick caught in goal, is a 20 metre restart, 7 tackle set, which the coaches hate. All of a sudden, you're not kicking the ball in the in goal. They've got to kick it short of the in goal, and therefore, the incentive now, instead of players getting back to the 10, they're now getting closer to the 20. So getting back to the 20 versus a short kickoff, which is 35 out, the incentive is to go short there, and therefore less concussion, less Suli situations. What do you make that? And you could do it this week. You could just say any kickoffs, general play, if you catch the ball on the full in goal, 20-metre restart, 7 tackle set. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that would be the best way to implement changes if they were to, you know, go that way. I tell you, I know a lot of fans wouldn't love it. And there's so much love for the long kickoff out there, but I think it's only a matter of time, if we're being honest, whether it takes 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. We're going to go that way eventually, where we try and disregard the short, the long kickoff. I know that was certainly part of their thinking with the changes this year, and you know, there was some suggestion that that may have been the idea before the short dropout was then included, and obviously became a bigger thing as a selling point for them. But I know concussions was definitely part of their thinking when they made that change this year, around incentivising more contested ball via kickoffs and dropouts. So it's probably not a bad way to do it. We've seen when the NFL made those changes, and look, I'm not going to pretend it is across the NFL as other people are, but when they made the changes disincentivizing the long kickoffs a couple of years ago now, that they saw a marked drop in concussions, and I believe they disincentivized further more recently, and again, there's been a drop. So, yeah, I think it's only a matter of time, right? So as far as suggestions go, it's not a bad one for you in the ideas factory.
Well, here's another one, Scotty. Hey, coaches, why don't you look after your players and all just get on board the short kickoff? Why don't you put your players first and not wait for everyone else to do it?
Yeah.
Why don't we have a coach come out and say, you know what, players' health's bigger than me, I'm going to adopt the short kickoff. And I reckon there's some bloody mathematics behind that anyway. But Scott Bailey from the AAP, mate, you are welcome here anytime. That was very comprehensive and the listeners appreciate it. Thanks for your time, Scotty.
Pleasure. Anytime, boys. Have a good one.
Scott Bailey, AAP. Let's do this, tourist.
It's an NRL news update. Subscribe to SEN League on YouTube and the SEN podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.
Okie dokie. Now, these two stories align. Christian Nicolussi from the Sydney Morning Herald. English halfback Lewis Dodd is set to join South Sydney. Now, he informed his Super League club St Helens on Friday, they've been very, very successful, that he would not take up his option for 2025. So the Rabbitohs recruitment chief, Mark Ellison, will board a flight to England on Sunday to meet Dodd and several other signing targets. They've been good, the English. The Australian Rugby League fans will recall Dodd kicking the winning field goal and golden point against Penrith in last year's World Club Challenge. Cody Walker and Lachie Ilias are the recognised halves at South, or had been until Lachie got injured, but both players are off contract next year. Dean Hawkins have obviously replaced Ilias, but he's contracted only until the end of the season. So that's how that's shaping up, which means, according to Brent Reed and Michael Carrianis for the Daily Telegraph missile, that the South Sydney halfback Lachlan Ilias, he'd be a good signing, I reckon. Get him back healthy. He's been granted permission to explore his options at rival clubs as he heads toward the exit door at the Rabbitohs. What do you think?
Who needs a halfback?
Well, I reckon without Schneider doing what Schneider's done, Penrith would jump on someone like him.
Yep.
For that type of player, like the Cogger Schneider type role.
Does Schneider?
He's injured now, of course.
Does Ilias Sam Walker work?
That's good food for thought.
Bulldogs may need a tie over. They've got a couple of really good young halves. Mitch Woods, who I believe just won player of the tournament in SG Ball, was it, that just finished? What was the comp just finished?
Was it the Harold Matthews?
Harold Matts.
And that's the one
Warriors won?
Yeah. We told that story, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Mitch Woods, the young halfback for the Bulldogs, just won player of the tournament. So he's the guy.
Well then, okay, so we were talking about before, and I hadn't heard the news about Jonah Pezzett, the poor bugger who's done his ACL in reserve grade. And there was a text that came through saying that Bulldogs could do with some more forwards. So why don't the Raiders knock on the door of Toby Sexton?
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, absolutely. Makes sense. I think
Would you be happy with that as a Bulldogs fan if you picked up an Emre Guler or a Arta Mariotta or a...
Yep.
Trey Mooney,
absolutely. If Drew Hutchison's the choice, and he appears to be, then so be it.
There'll be movement there, won't there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it's the Bulldogs, but there'll be movement for Canberra. They have to get a halfback. They need to get a general, a kicking general. I mentioned Jonah Pezzett, poor bugger. That's through the Melbourne Storm website, ACL injury. We mentioned Lachie Ilias. These young first graders who are having a bit of time in reserve grade. And Frank Panisi says, unfortunately, scans have confirmed Jonah has ruptured his ACL, which will require surgery in the coming days. Storm Director of Football, Frank Panisi. It's so sad to see these young fellas. They work so hard over the off-season and all the training sessions, and to have your season punctuated like that. Latrell Mitchell considers withdrawing from Origin to focus on Rabbitohs. Michael Chemis and Adrian Prezenko through the Sydney Morning Herald. He's still only 26, Latrell.
He's been around forever.
You know what, right? This is a really interesting one because there was a rule, I believe, where if you made yourself unavailable for your state, at the same time you're making yourself unavailable for the club side. I believe there was a rule such as that, right? And people will say, well, what about last year Ponga sat out? But Ponga had a lot of concussion issues. So if Latrell Mitchell comes back fit, fire and raring to go, I'm not quite sure whether or how that goes down. So we'll see how that plays out.
Is it a retirement from rep football, a la Jack White?
Well, then you're really making a big statement. I don't know.
Jack White could come back this year and he's unretired from rep football.
Yeah.
So there's a retirement from rep football. Is that just a loophole to get you out of that circumstance?
Okay. Can I ask you this? If you're Madge McGuire,
yeah,
and these questions would be going through his mind on a daily basis. So Origin 1, Latrell's come back, playing fullback, which I don't think he should play, but playing fullback for South, and he plays okay. Would you roll the dice and have him in the centres or not?
Oh, man. Is my fullback Tom Trbojevic or no? He's a centre.
You're Madge right now. What would you do? You're there. It's your job. The furnace, which is State
Latrell
of Origin.
Comes back, he plays all right.
Pass mark, like not out of the box, but just he's healthy and he's shown that he's good to go if you need him.
Yeah, I pick him.
You'd pick him with
at centre.
With Crichton and Turbo at fullback.
I'd put Turbo at fullback and I'd put Crichton and Latrell as my centres.
It's a big question.
It's a big call. I look back to how destructive Latrell was at State of Origin level, and he almost plays to the occasion.
Yep.
Playing for South in front of 20,000 people clearly doesn't get Latrell going. Playing in front of a packed stadium of 80,000 fans with an opposition centre who wants to physically dominate him, Latrell comes to the party every time. So the big issue is what are the distractions like during camp? Because with Latrell comes a whole media circus, rightly or wrongly, and yeah, it's not something that he can help, but that's a distraction that Madge doesn't need.
Yep.
Doesn't need the journalist talking about Latrell's personal life and South Sydney, and there's so many distractions for Latrell. It's almost easier for Madge and the squad to go in another direction. You may lose a bit on the field, but you gain a lot in stability off the field.
But do you lose a heap with Crichton and Turbo in the centres and either Edwards or Teddy at fullback?
Probably not.
That's the safer play, isn't it?
Yeah, there's so many options.
Safer play until you see him come back. And his best chance for that centre position, I would have thought, is if Demetrio plays him in that centre position, which I believe firmly is his spot, based on his, he doesn't have the aerobic ability that the likes of Edwards and all those really good fullbacks, Tedesco, etc., Turbo, all those players have. Super Las Vegas, Michael Chamis, Anita. Through the Sydney Morning Herald, the NRL has received an approach from Sam Burgess's Super League club, Warrington, to play in Las Vegas next year as part of a two-day extravaganza. Doesn't surprise me this because Carl Fitzpatrick, who's the CEO there at Warrington, he is an innovator. He's up and about always. They were the first to sort of social media and growing the following over there in the Super League. So it makes no surprise to me that Sammy Burgess and Carl are behind this. The Super League has made contact with the NRL after the billionaire owners of Warrington and Wigan expressed a desire to join the NRL in its crusade into the United States. The NRL is giving consideration to a two-day festival of rugby league involving the best clubs from England and Australia. That would be huge, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
The governing body is open to expanding the concept, but will need the Super League and its clubs to cover the costs associated with the expensive venture. Be like a little mini round, I suppose.
So there was talk that they had a heap of English fans there anyway.
They did anyway. Correct.
Geez, if you add a couple of English clubs in there, you'll have a Vegas full of mad English bastards. I could get a bit. I like it though. I just want to get it. I want to go.
Yeah. Do you worry about that? You're sort of
diluting the product.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Have your say. 0457 736 736. This is interesting from Chamis Anita through the Sydney Morning Herald. Lomax.
Chamis has been busy.
Yeah. Asked for coaching clause in his new Eels contract. Now, Parramatta rejected a request from Zach Lomax to insert a clause into his new deal, which would have tied his future to that of coach Brad Arthur. What's the relationship between... They have had dinner together, I understand that, but what's the relationship between Brad Arthur and Lomax?
Apparently he's a hell of a cook. Really solid cook. Well, We had a really interesting chat with Timmy Manor on the weekend, and he kind of explained this Parramatta situation. So Regan Campbell-Gillard came out and said, I would die for Brad Arthur.
Mm.
And I said to Timmy, that seems a bit extreme. He said, what Brad Arthur does is he gets the top couple of players, four or five players, and moves heaven and earth for those guys. So they are just rock solid in his corner, a la Campbell-Gillard.
Yeah, Gaffo, Moses.
And so when the board goes to the top players, which they do inevitably, and say, yep. Well, does the coach have your support? Yep, absolutely, every time. It's player 6 through 30 in the squad that often become disenfranchised with Brad Arthur. And Timmy said he did that with him when he was there, and he knows that he's doing that now with Moses, Gutho, Campbell-Gillard, Paulo, those top players. He has rules for some, rules for others, but keeps those guys happy. Sounds like within a 1 hour dinner, he's done the same with Zach Lomax.
Okay. Where are they at, Parramatta, for you? Are you red penning them, or is it? The quality of Moses, he's a massive hit.
I've red penned them for this season.
Have you?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Shane Richardson, he's been appointed West Tigers CEO. So he was interim. He's got a 4-year deal. So having worked as the Rabbitohs CEO between 2004 to 2015, there was rumours of him joining the Rabbitohs. Here is Shane Richardson.
Were you approached by the South Sydney Rabbitohs about rejoining the club?
I'm mostly excited about joining West Tigers, and I woke up this morning feeling really good about it. Mate, I don't talk about whatever. Journos get to make stories up and do things. I get to worry about what's in front of me, and what's in front of me is West Tigers.
Okay, there's a bit of West Tigers news.
Answer that question.
Shane Richardson with Jimmy Smith here on SEN. West Tigers set for permanent move to a bigger venue. As I said, you can't keep playing the gypsy. And the CEO, Shane Richardson, is currently negotiating with Venues New South Wales to move, looking at it predominantly playing games at either Accor or Combank. You prefer the latter, don't you, Missile?
Well, I'm not a Tigers fan, but out of those two stadiums, as a game day experience, Combank is the big winner. You're a Tigers fan.
Oh, I do love Combank. Is parking a slight issue out there?
There's plenty of Wilson parking in the CBD.
Gotcha.
And you walk up. That's what I do anyway.
Okay. All right. Is it a mission to walk, or it's not too bad?
No, I like walking.
Yeah, okay.
As far as like swimmers go.
I like walking.
I used to hate walking.
Did you?
Yeah. A big knock on me has always been I'm a slow walker.
Yep.
Anyone that's with me said slow walker.
Mm.
But we used to have this thing when we were competing. You live slow to swim fast.
Oh, yeah.
So you get around, everything's slow. Never
just
in a
amble,
rush. Just cool, calm, relax, so you know when it comes, when time comes, explode.
You're just talking to your future wife here. What's one of the icks? She sent you through some icks.
Oh, yeah.
Which relates to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It does. She's big on icks.
Explain to the listeners what an ick is again.
An ick is something that basically puts you off someone.
Turn off.
Well, yeah, once you've got an ick, you can't can't get over it.
It's quite often irrational as well.
Yeah.
It's not like a big thing. It's a small thing.
Things, yeah. This girl must be famous. I don't really know who she is. Paige someone. I think she's a housewife of some description. These are her three icks, Mark. When men use umbrellas, I think it's disgusting. Umbrellas are for girls.
Well, if I get wet.
What? I don't know. Just cop it. This
the
is the second one.
Okay.
When they're in a rush, like if they're flustered, that's an ick.
That's not you.
No, I think the opposite is probably an ick as well. I'm a bit slow sometimes.
What about if you're in the rain? Can you be flustered and in a rush?
No, you have to be cool, calm and collected right. In the rain. And this third one, if they bend down to tie their shoes, I don't like that.
How else am I doing my shoes?
Sit down, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay.
Yeah, you know
but
that
you know
sort
if
of
you
kneel.
Like, if you
yeah.
Like...
Okay, that is an ick, yeah.
That's an ick.
Don't put that on the YouTube.
Tell you what, the West Tigers don't think an ick is, and that's Tsunya Taruva, signs 3-year deal with the West Tigers. Tell you what.
I'm loving this squad.
Yeah, they're building loving and building it. And building. He'll become the fifth ex-Panthers premiership winner at the club after Appy, Charlie Staines, Brent Naden, and the list goes on, signed with the Tigers, while Jerome Luai will also join the Tigers in 2025. So they're growing, they're signing CEOs, they're signing players.
I'm at the point now, I want to see a successful Tigers.
Yep.
I'm here for it.
I'll tell you what we're here for. A bloke who also went from Penrith to the West Tigers, Scotty Sattler, He's going to join us alongside his mate, Matt the Rat Rogers. What state could the Rat be in today? Is he brand new? Last week he was a bit broken Lionel Messi. We'll see how this plays out on the other side of this. A run home with Joel, the tourist, the missile, date night Dom, and most importantly you.